Hello, welcome to Uncluttered, a podcast that discusses the connection between faith and organizing. Our focus is not just how to be organized, but why it's important from a biblical standpoint to leave the clutter and the chaos in our lives behind. I'm Angie Heitch, an author and certified professional organizer living in East Tennessee.
And I'm Leanna George, an author and former professional organizer living in Houston, Texas. Are you ready to unclutter your heart and your home so you can focus on what matters most? If so, let's dive in.
All right. So when Leanna and I were working as organizers, we worked very frequently with people who had belongings from deceased parents, grandparents, others, sometimes multiple generations, and we're trying to decide what to do with their stuff after they die. And it is really, really difficult, and there can be a lot of emotion. So we're going to be talking about that today, what to do with dead people's stuff. And since this is a bit of a heavy topic, we decided to start with a few lighthearted examples of stories that we think are true. You know, we found them on the internet, so they must be true. But we can't confirm these are true stories, but even if they're not, they're kind of fun to consider. So I found a really interesting article. Someone asked, what's the strangest and most unexpected thing you found while going through the belongings of someone who had passed away? And we're going to share a few of the answers. All right. So there was a man, a deceased person had a list of 100 names. 87 of the names were crossed off with red ink. And the family members say to this day, they have no idea who those people were, how he was connected to it, or what it meant by who was crossed off. And I just think that's funny.
I think it's hilarious. Yeah. I think the fiction writer in me is like, ooh, how can I use
that? Oh my goodness. Yes. That could, ooh. Okay. We may be racing to who's going to use that one. Yeah. All right. Here's another one. Then I'm just reading what this person said. My grandpa passed when I was in my 30s. A few years later, my grandma was convinced to sell the house. While helping her pack, I had a vague memory that when I was about 7, he had showed me a secret compartment he had built into a desk, and there was a coffee can full of coins. At that point, I thought, that's probably my imagination, but might as well check to be sure. They ended up finding 3 coffee cans full of coins, and they had almost given the desk away for free.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, here are a few others. My dad and uncle were tasked with cleaning out my great-grandma's house when she moved into an assisted living facility. My uncle gestured to me and said, I know you're interested in family history, so I was thinking you'd like this, and handed me an old bottle. Inside was what looked like a small gray pebble that had partially dissolved into dust. It was actually labeled John's Appendix 1907. And as it turns out, that my great-granddad was one of the first British recipients of an appendectomy when he was young, and they let him keep the appendix.
It's just crazy.
It's funny. I think that's really cool. And then the last one we have to share is when my dad died, my sister and I went to his apartment with my grandmother. While I was flipping through records and such, Grandma came out of the bedroom with what was very clearly a pot plant. I hope everybody understands what I'm saying. Pot, not potted plant.
Yeah.
Pot plant, right? And she said she didn't know what it was and asked if I wanted it. When I eagerly accepted, her suspicions were confirmed and she disposed of it.
The best part is the eager acceptance of the pot plant.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Oh my goodness. Oh, well, those are some unusual items for sure. And you can get both Leanna and I going on unusual things we have found on decluttering.
Sure. We could do a whole episode on that.
Absolutely. In fact, that would be a great episode. Okay. So, and while you may not have found anything quite that unusual that you have to decide what to do from someone who's deceased, you just never know till you start sorting through it. So, but before we dive into this episode, I mentioned how this can be a really difficult topic. Leanna, why do you think this is so difficult, what to do with dead people's stuff?
I think a lot of it is just guilt. I think it's guilt because the person feels bad. The person who is left with the dead people's stuff feels bad for giving it away or getting rid of it. I think there's a lot of guilt. I think there's a lot of If I give something away of this person's, then I'm losing this person again.
Mm. Yeah.
Which can be very difficult. Some people don't want to face the reality that this was the last that these people had. And so, you know, if they get rid of it, then that's it for these people, you know, total, without realizing you still have your memories, you still have your, you know, pictures and things like that. And so I think it's just distancing ourselves from the stuff and our emotions.
Yeah.
So I think that's hard to do.
Definitely. So much emotion involved in our relationship with things, but then you compound and just ratchet the emotion up to a whole nother level when we're dealing with things from dead people. Yeah. You know, and as difficult as it is, the truth is that most of us will have to face this at some point in our lives. So it, you know, we might as well be prepared. So the goal of this episode is to equip you with the tools you'll need. And that's including both biblical principles and practical tips. So that's our goal for this episode.
And Angie, you've had to go through this. I mean, I have not had to do this yet with either one of my dad or, I mean, my mom passed away when I was only 20, but, my dad kept all that stuff. Right. Right?
Yeah.
And he was the one that dealt with it. Or honestly, I don't even know what he did with it. He tried to push a table off on me, and I was like, no, I don't want that. But I mean, you most recently have dealt with that.
Oh yeah. My father died just a few months ago, and he went from living on his own in a one bedroom apartment and like mowing people's yards and extremely active, and then just with, he had a lot of health issues that just kind of all got worse. And then he had to go from that apartment, which also had a garage very, very stuffed full of stuff. And then quickly we had to get him, he stayed with my husband and I in our small loft, and then get him into assisted living. And so it was a lot of stuff, and it had to be processed at a really quick timetable because, you know, he was paying rent on this apartment, and we don't want, you know, he didn't really have an extra money to pay a whole month's rent to wait. Yeah. So, you know, we went through his stuff, and then his health improved a lot. And then within a few months he died. And so now the stuff that we had left that I had to go through with my siblings, and all of a sudden the same items, it's like they took on a whole new importance after he died, because there was a lot of sorting through before, but then when he died, it's like, okay, now what do we do? You know, so yeah, just a lot of emotion this. So
yeah. And I didn't bring that up to bring any bad memories up for you, but I wanted our listeners to understand that we aren't just coming from this as a authority type of position,
right,
but somebody who has actually gone through these steps and or gone through this process.
Yes, absolutely. And this, so it's not just that we've done this with clients. We've done this with lots of clients, but we, I've done this myself not that long ago. And so when I give these tips and these principles, know that I get it. And I never want to underestimate the emotional difficulty of all this. So don't ever think that we are making light of, just do this, 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 and this. It's easy. No, it's not easy. And we realize that.
And I think that's the biggest issue that people are facing in the situation or your emotions.
Oh, no doubt.
Right. We never want to downplay them.
Yes.
We never want to ignore them at all. We just want to give you some encouragement and some ideas on how to try to navigate this process. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So why don't you get started, Angie?
Yes. All right. So we're going to have some overarching principles. And principle number one is that there are no rules. There are no hard and fast rules for this. We say all the time, you do you, boo, you know. And when either of us would meet with clients to talk about stuff, one of the first things I'd always say is your stuff, your decision. Now, when we're talking about having been left with someone else's stuff, it's not originally yours, but you have been, that these items have been placed in your care. And so you get to decide. And we're going to talk about getting other family members involved in that decision. But really, it's your decision, and there's no specific, you can only keep this much, or you must do this. And depending on how well you knew the person, how recently they died, again, powerful emotions to grapple with. And it's going to be in stages. You know, it may be that this is very common. Like initially, okay, these are some things, that's not too hard, but I'm not ready for this yet. And that's totally fine. It's going to take a while on some of the other things, even if you know, ultimately, I don't need this. And it's okay to give yourself more time.
Yeah. And you may be thinking, because this just reminded me, because, you know, I'm a big Big Bang Theory fan. And when the character Howard, his mom died, he opened up one of the drawers. And you may be thinking, oh, I can just open up this drawer. And that should be easy to do. And then you open it up, and it's like on the TV show, it was a whole drawer full of ketchup packets, right? And you think, well, that should be easy to go. But for Howard, it wasn't, because he knew how much mom loved ketchup on things, right? Mm. So, you know, just, you know, try. I love that you said, try to find what may be easy to go, be easy to let go. But just know that if you encounter something in that process, give yourself the grace to make the decisions when you're ready. And, you know, just go, nope, can't deal with that right now. Let me find something else that isn't so slight, strongly tied to my emotions.
Yeah, I was listening just today, in fact, to Brené Brown, Atlas of the Heart. And she's literally just going through all the emotions that we face and how to deal with them. And her section on grief was talking about how, you know, there's no timetable for it, and everyone's experience is different. And so, and there's no, like, I think about the ketchup thing. You may be thinking, my initial thought was like, oh my gosh, why can't he throw away ketchup? You have no idea how you're going to react to something that you think, I should be able to get rid of this ketchup, or this is silly. Why does this, but, you know, again, there's no rules. You have your own way that you're dealing with grief, and don't let anyone shame you into doing something you're not ready for.
Right. Exactly. And so I think that that's important as we get to principle number two, mm-hmm. is that when you're probably going to be working with other people, and this probably isn't a process you want to go through by yourself,
right?
Because it is so emotional. So just remember to be sensitive to others. You know, that's our second principle, is that, you know, although your loved one's belongings may have been placed in your care, you may not be the only one who needs to give input into the decision of what to do about them. So you're probably going to be working alongside other people. So just be sure to include whoever's input is appropriate into the decision, right? But just be careful here, because families have been torn apart over issues such as this. Mm-hmm. We've all seen it, right? It's sad, but it's true that these things have happened.
Yeah, and my extended family, there's a family member who argued with their sibling for, I would say, at least 20 years over some specific loved one's belongings. And those two siblings were not, they didn't have a great relationship to begin with, but this disagreement just really severed the ties that they did have. And it didn't just affect the two of them, but the ripples of it extended to other family members. So be wise, cover every part of this situation in prayer. And here's a good scripture for this. Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And here's the thing, you can't control how someone is going to react, but you can control what you say and how you say it. So just do your best to act in a godly way that is above reproach. And understand, we know that there are emotional landmines, but do your best to include everyone that needs to be included, to give yourself grace and to give others grace, and just bathe the whole thing in scripture and prayer.
Yeah, definitely. Because you said emotions are running high, mm-hmm. even if it's been a while, and that can lead to some damage if we aren't careful.
Yes.
So we really need to be sensitive to others when we're going through this process. All right. Well, the next principle gets to the heart of why letting go. I am so tongue-tied today. The next principle gets to the heart of why letting go of items can be so difficult. And that is whether it's grandmother's, wedding dress or some kind of table or cabinet or whatever it is, right? But we have to remind ourselves that the memory isn't literally attached to that object. The memory exists independently. It's stored in our mind, more importantly, stored in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to hold on to the object to hold on to the memory, right? Just because we let go of one doesn't mean we let go of the other. And so there are other ways we can preserve the memory without keeping all of the objects.
Yes, there are. And here are a few ideas of how you can hold on to the memory without necessarily holding on to the object. And we've mentioned this before. You can take a picture of the object and then don't just let that picture get buried in your hundreds of thousands of pictures in your phone. You could use that picture as a screensaver. You could print it, put it on a physical or digital frame. I love this idea. Write or record yourself telling a story about the object. You can be really creative with this. And it's cool that when an object has a story behind it, it really means a lot more too.
And let me just say real quick, as a fiction writer, I love hearing people's stories about
stuff. Yeah.
And so I will listen to somebody telling me a story, whether it's about a situation or an object and how it came to be and how it was used in your family. And then the next thing I say is, can I use that in a story?
Yes.
Sharing the story of the object is a great way, not only just to relive it in your mind, but also who knows what could happen with it and where it could go.
It's true. And it also, telling the stories of our loved ones is a big part of the healing process. So this all goes together in helping us deal with death. And I love it. And then let someone, if it's something you don't have room for or have use for, let someone put it to use and even tell them, this was my grandfather's or whatever, and I'd love to see you be able to use this. Don't just hand it to someone and say, hey, I don't need this as my grandfather's, but only if it's something they can use. But if they're able to put it to use, that kind of is a way to honor. And then,
I think a lot of times people see estate sales and just see, people's stuff laid out on the yard for people to come mill through. And so, that just seems so cold and insensitive, And so if that's your thinking, then you're like, I can't do that to my grandparents, my parents, my, loved ones' stuff, then don't do that, Find ways, creative ways, emotional ways that you can, let go of an item. And don't just think it has to be through an estate sale where people just rummage through your stuff and try to give you a nickel for it.
Right. Yeah. And a really cool creative thing that I saw recently, I like to go to those places where you can paint pottery or do paintings on canvas. And I saw this really neat thing that someone had taken a canvas frame and they had gotten some things from a loved one who had passed away. There were some knickknacks, some little mementos, some jewelry, and they had attached it all to this canvas to make a piece of art. And it was really neat. I just thought that was such a great idea.
Yeah. Or, I read about another lady who cut pieces of her wedding dress and then framed it with other things around it for her wedding.
Nice.
And that way, because honestly, as I think about it, I don't even know where my wedding dress is. So it's somewhere here, but so it might be good to think about displaying that with a picture of, all of our wedding anniversaries. Be creative. All right. Yeah. Well, those are great ideas, Angie. Those are some really great ideas. Let's keep it going. The next principle is especially helpful when you're making decisions about what to keep from a deceased loved one, right? We know we want to keep it. We don't want to get rid of it, but there's some things we need to keep in mind. And One of those is our fourth principle, which is know your limits. Okay. Unless you have all the money in the world and all the space in the world to build the most gigantic house in the world, to fill it with so much stuff, then you have to understand our space is limited and not intended to be used as a museum. It is to be used as a home that we live in. So we need to prioritize holding things that are useful to us now. And so by limiting what you keep, you can restrict your collection of sentimental items to a manageable level. Okay. You'll probably have to force yourself to keep only the most significant. But you have to remember not everything is equally special. So let the space make your decisions. You know, you could define a certain number of containers, a number of shelves, drawers, you know, whatever. But decide how much space in your home you can dedicate to these things that you want to keep. And then go from there and say, okay, now that I know that I've got this, you know, bedroom or this closet or this drawer, then I can go fill in the most special items into those spaces.
Yep. And then when that space is full and you've utilized all, then the rest you can let go. So it forces you to make some tough decisions.
Yeah. And I would really encourage you not to get another storage unit and to put all this stuff.
Please.
Please don't, because it's just one, it's, again, my chemo brain isn't fully back and done yet. It is avoiding, that's the word I'm looking for, avoiding or putting off the inevitable, right? Yeah. You are going to have to deal with this at some point. And if you don't, then somebody else will, and that's not fair to them. But also it's just the money.
Oh yeah.
The money that you know, pouring into a storage unit that you just really don't need to.
Yeah. And it's really easy to say, okay, I'm only going to, yeah. Okay. But I'll only use it for like 3 months or something. And 3 months, and then 5 years later, you've sunk thousands of dollars into it. So.
Yeah. Which on stuff that probably isn't worth as
right.
much as what you said. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
All right. And all now right. the last principle, and this last one is probably the most important and maybe the most difficult to figure out, but we're going to give you examples so you'll understand what we're saying. So principle number 5, honor your loved one and honor God. So the command to honor our loved ones is repeated plenty of times in scripture. You know, you think about the 10 commandments, honor your father and mother. And, you know, though that command to love them is not necessarily just when they're living, because we can still honor our loved ones after they die. We can speak well of them. We can choose to remember the good. And if our loved one lived according to biblical values, then, you know, we can live in such a way we reflect those values too. But since we're talking specifically about what to do there with their stuff, then Leanna, what do you think it means to honor your loved one with regard to their stuff?
Yeah. So we've talked several times on this podcast that in order to be a good steward of our belongings, we need to use them in a way that honors God, because ultimately everything comes from him, right? So the same is true when it comes to our loved one's belongings. They were entrusted by God to our loved one, and now they're entrusted to us. And so we still need to honor our loved ones and honor God with those items. Okay, so how can we do that, Angie? Do you have any ideas?
I do. All right. So one of the ways we can honor our loved ones is the things that we have decided to keep, to not just stuff them down in the attic or the basement or the garage or whatever, but put them to use by physically using them or displaying them. You're going to get a lot more joy out of using your grandmother's ceramic dish as a serving piece than you ever would out of keeping it boxed up. I mean, that's why she made that dish anyway, for it to be used, not for it to be stuck away in storage.
Yeah. And here's the thing, right? There is nothing new under the sun. Okay. We know that from the Bible. Mm-hmm. And we know that in our, just looking, I mean, how many times do things that were really old come back into use, right? And because granted, they may be a little bit different. But you know, it's kind of cool now to have mid-century.
Mid-century modern. Yep.
You know, it's kind of cool to have green dishes and orange Tupperware, right? So, I mean, you know, think about it in that terms, because, you know, yeah, it may not be cool to somebody else, but if it's cool to you, then use it and display it and don't be ashamed of it or try to hide it. But try to find a ways to know that it will come back in style. But that doesn't mean you can hold on to it for forever, waiting for it to come back in style.
Yeah.
that's the only catch there. Don't wait for it. So, but if you can't use or display all of a collection, try keeping a small subset and then let the rest go. So some examples include saving a few pieces of a china set or one doll from a collection of Madame Alexander dolls or one piece of jewelry from a collection of antique jewelry, and then you can let the rest of the collection find a use somewhere else.
Yep.
Right. And that brings us to our next tip, Angie.
Yes. So we talked about honor your loved one by using or displaying the items, but I believe you can also honor your loved one by giving the items a new life. And I wanted to share this story. My friend and fellow organizer, Brenda Tringali, her business is At Your Fingertips Organizing in Myrtle Beach. And she shared this blog. I shared a blog that she wrote because I thought it was such a powerful example of how to put this principle into practice. So when her mother died a few years ago, being the only daughter, she was the one who took responsibility for the purse, for her mother's purse that she was actively using at the time. So she stuck it in a drawer at home where it sat for quite a while because she just felt like going through the purse was going to be way more emotion than what she thought she could do. But then several months later, she had a very specific reason to get that purse out. So her high school alma mater was planning a reunion and she was a part of the reunion committee, and the committee decided they wanted to participate in a local nonprofit donation drive called Project Pocketbook. And so they were asking reunion attendees to bring new or gently used pocketbooks for homeless women. And so then she was like, boom, that is exactly what I need to do. I can get my mom's purse out and share it for that. And so she cleaned it out. Finally, it forced her just to go ahead and do that and get it kind of cleaned up and ready for someone else. And I'm going to read how Brenda described how she felt when she donated that purse. "I don't know who ended up with mom's bag, but I do have a visual. In my mind, I see the back of a woman standing in the doorway of the shelter she called home for too long. I see her standing tall, her head held high and her shoulders back, as she proudly prepares to take her first step. She has mom's black leather pocketbook hung over her right shoulder, and she tightly grasps it with her right hand on the strap, as mom did. She tosses her head to her right to flip her long hair behind her shoulder, and then she takes her first step out of the shelter toward her new beginning."
That's beautiful.
Really is.
Yeah, that is such a beautiful way to envision giving our loved ones items a new life. That's just, yeah. So, yeah, I love that story. And I'm so glad that you included it in this podcast because I think so many times that we need to create a visual for what this item is going to be used for in the future and how empowering that can be.
Right.
Not just for the people you give it to, but for yourself as
well. Yes.
Right. So sometimes it's helpful to ask a few questions about what your loved one would want. So here are a few that I'm just going to share with you. Would my loved one want me to keep this out of guilt? Okay. Probably not. I know me personally, I would never give somebody something and then want them to feel guilty holding on to it.
No. And the thing is though, the thing that I think we need to keep in mind, something that we can do preparing other people for our own stuff, is just to be able to, of course, go through our stuff. And like I've told my daughters, when we are gone, don't feel like you have to keep anything. But I know when the emotion is strong, even the silliest thing can feel like it just has such a tight hold. I don't think anyone really would want you to keep things out of guilt.
Yeah. Another question is, would my loved one want me to keep this forever? And that's why I think it's important to have conversations with people, right? We always think, oh, there'll be more time later to discuss that. There'll be more time later. And, you know, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow.
Yep.
And none of us will know what might happen on the way home. Just anything. So, you know, don't be afraid to have questions. My mother-in-law is 85 years old. They live in a house that she was born in. It's 100 years old.
Mm.
I finally just came out and asked her, what do you want us to do with this house when you're gone?
Oh, wow.
You know, of course, she didn't have an answer for me at the time. And I did preface it with, look, I'm not trying to be morbid, mm-hmm. right? That I want to know, I want to honor your wishes. Mm,
that's good.
I can't honor them if I don't know what they
oh,
are.
Oh, that's so good.
You know? And so, yeah, you know, have conversations with people and be honest and upfront. I love that you had that with your girls. I mean, my girls know, you know, what we're tied to, what means the most to me,
yeah.
you know, what doesn't. But please have these conversations. Don't be afraid. You know, I think we're afraid to talk about death, like it's taboo or something. But the fact is we're all going to die, and I think it would be better for us to help our loved ones on this side
mm-hmm.
Before we go, because we know they're going to be grieving. We know they're going to be going through a hard time, and there's no point in adding more burden to them. So have those conversations and know. And then finally, the last question, if my loved one knew there were people in need who could be helped by this item, would he or she want me to give it to them? Such a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good question. And if your loved one was a giver, he or she would probably want to pass it on to someone less fortunate. And then this act would, like we said before, honor your loved one's spirit of giving. You know, honor them even when they're not here.
Yeah. And I know my friend Brenda just felt so good about, there was absolutely no doubt in her mind that her mother would get pleasure out of knowing that her purse went to help someone. So, yeah. All right. So that is the end of our principles. But before we close, let's do just a little bit of reviewing. So we know that deciding what to do with the deceased loved one's belongings is very difficult, but these principles will help you make those decisions. So principle number one, there are no rules. Or, you know, the things that have been entrusted to you is your decision. There's no hard and fast rules, and give yourself grace and as much time as you need.
Principle number two, be sensitive to others. You may not be the only one who needs to give input into the decision of what to do about the items. Consider others that have a vested interest and be wise and prayerful as you approach mm-hmm. them.
Yes. Principle number three, separate the memories. We don't have to hold on to the object to hold on to the memory. There's other things we can do to hold on to the memory that don't involve keeping all of those sentimental objects.
Principle number four, know your limit. Decide how much space you're able or willing to allot for items from a deceased loved one. Then make your decision based on that space.
Yes. And then principle number five, honor your loved one and honor God with the belongings. So just keeping in mind, everything comes from God. And the same is true with your loved one's belongings. They were entrusted to God. So you can honor your loved one by using or displaying the items, not just relegating them to some box in the corner of your attic. You know, figure out a way to use or to display them.
Yep. Or you can honor your loved one by giving the items another life. So if you can't use or display them, consider giving them a second life by donating them to someone in need. And even if you don't donate them to someone in need, donate them to someone who would use it and enjoy it mm-hmm. as well. So it can be helpful to ask some questions about what we think our loved one would want.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we just, by giving someone else the items, we honor the giving spirit of our loved one.
Absolutely. So do you know someone who has inherited some loved one's belongings and needs some help going through them? Please share this episode with them or share it on your social media platforms. When you share and you rate and review, that really helps people find our podcast. So I appreciate you taking time for that.
Absolutely. And also be sure to check out the free resources on our website, uncluttered.faith. We've got a monthly blog and a free gift for subscribing to our newsletter. And while you're on the website, take a look at our book, Uncluttered, Shaping Your Heart and Home for What Matters Most. It is a devotional that we think will be very useful for you. So until next time, remember, an uncluttered life is an abundant life.